Where motoring starts. This is Behind the Wheel.
Welcome to Behind the Wheel, Ray.
Wow, thanks, Simon. Simon, you're calling from Australia?
Yes, that's correct.
And I'm in the States, so it's actually you're actually 15 hours ahead of me. So I'm just wondering if you can give me the race results before they happen, so I'll know which way to get out the car.
I'm not sure that's how it works, but I will do. And you have to share the winnings with me.
Oh, absolutely, deal.
You host the show Americana, and you cover all cars that come from America. You talk about their history and what they mean to American culture. You really must love your job.
I really do. You know, Simon, I've spent my life traveling around doing lots of different things with automobiles. And in that time, I spent 40 years on the road racing cars. And in that time, you meet a lot of incredible people, and they all have stories about these cars. And we wanted to put all those things together, go see these incredible cars and tell their story. And we've been fortunate enough to find cars from country great singers like Marty Robbins to rock and roll Elvis Presley, and some great race cars driven by Dan Gurney and Mario Andretti. And then a lot of regular cars with people that just have a story to tell.
I know you've got more interesting stuff coming up in the new season, but what do you find is the most compelling? Is it actually the cars themselves or the people that you meet, or a combination?
Well, I love the cars. I love the cars, but it really is the people. And you're a car guy, and you meet people that they just have such passion about their cars. And we've met people that have kept cars in their family for generations because they were built by their grandfathers or their great grandfathers. And if you look at how much our culture has changed, that the automobile really documents a lot of our timeline as a civilization, and whether that's industrial or our culture, the clothes we wear or the music we listen to, you know, whether it's 50s rock and roll or the 70s kind of or 80s big hair band movement. You know, you look at our style, it's so closely related to our automobile. And again, I've just met so many incredible people that have that tell us something that we just didn't know. And you go, wow, I didn't know that. And it's we could make the show a mini series that ran 24 hours a day if we used a lot of this stuff. But you know, it's just the incredible stories that people tell. I could sit and listen to them for hours.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, over here, I mean, I have to admit, I don't know a lot about American cars, but then you don't actually realize how much you're influenced by them, because, you know, so much car culture has come from America. And, you know, we see that in the movies over the years. And you like you said, you see all those iconic cars and it just filters into your head, even though you're not a car person.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it goes both ways. You know, I deal with a lot of the guys from Australia. I actually raced in Australia, and I worked for one of your great Australian touring car champions, Dick Johnson. We worked together on some things years ago. And so I know a lot of the guys from over there, and I still stay in touch with many of them, and they're very interested in the cars, whether it's customizing their car or restoring a vintage car. So I just think that the car story, that car culture crosses all cultures, you know, we just have a very diverse group of people that love cars. There's just something about the mechanics of making that car your own or restoring it or again it really documents the history of our civilization.
Yeah, it certainly does. Just back to meeting those interesting people, who is the most interesting person that you've met?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. You know, some of the interesting people that I've actually featured or studied upon were people who were deceased, like Clint Bronner, who was just an amazing mechanic, and learned a lot about him, how he built the car for Mario Andretti. But my hero upon heroes has been being able to spend time with Dan Gurney, and that is coming up. You'll see in season 3, we found a car that Dan Gurney finished second to Mario Andretti with in 1969. Dan won his last race in it. We searched all over for the parts to put this car together correctly, and being able to meet and sit down and interview Dan Gurney was a big thrill for me.
I see. I mean, in the show, you cover a lot of stuff, you know, hot rods and racing cars and vintage things. What personally gets your motor running?
I think it's all those things. We have been able to find something key in each of those shows. As I said, from restoring or preserving a vintage Elvis Presley car, the last car that Elvis Presley drove, to building the hot rod. You know, we'll see a show coming up, but we found an old hot rod that ran Bonneville in 1952, and we worked extremely hard to try and see if we could go at the same mile per hour record as the guys who built that car. And I'm going to tell you, it was a difficult thing. We took it to an Air Force base and made several runs with it. So it was, very interesting. To me, it's more about the history. I'm kind of I like the open wheel hot rod era. I've got a lot of open wheel hot rods, a 33 Ford, a 34 Ford, a hot rod that was built in the 1960s. But I've also got some muscle cars. You know, I've got some of the winged Dodge racers I collect some vintage Indy cars and things like that, too. I have spent way too much of my children's inheritance on automobiles, but I keep telling them, stick with me, kids. They'll be worth something someday.
That is true. Well, that actually leads me to my next question. I was going to ask you how many cars you own and which one might be your favorite.
Oh, boy. Okay, Simon. Now, hopefully my wife doesn't get this show, your show now. You know,
oh, that's okay. We're thousands of kilometers
away. I tell her it. I don't really know, but it's somewhere around 90 different cars we have.
Wow.
In different configurations. Some of them are very valuable vintage Indy cars, like the Dan Gurney car or the Mario Andretti car. And honestly, some of them are rust buckets that don't mean anything to anybody but me. We've got a moonshine car, a car that really carried moonshine in North Carolina. Back in the 1950s and 60s, and it's just an old beat up 1940 Ford, and people look at it like it's a piece of junk, but I love that car. So it's hard for me to pick one. If I could pick one, I wouldn't have so many.
In your adventures, you must find that you learn a lot of stuff yourself too.
You know, every time I go out, Simon, I learn something, and you learn from people. You know, I've met with engineers who've designed Indy cars and Formula One cars, and I've also met with men who have spent their lives up in the mountains or working on farms, and they're just mechanically talented. Some of the amazing fabricators that we met, old school fabricators, men who can run things like the English wheel and gas weld and aluminum by hand, and some of the stories that they tell about fixing up the old flathead engines or being able to race the old race cars. So again, it's just an amazing cross section. But every time I go out on a car search, we learn something.
Yeah, definitely. Would there be something that you found the most surprising in the things that you've seen?
You know, the thing that surprised me the most is it made me realize how much I didn't know. And when you don't know how much you don't know, then you can start to learn some more. And I think that what surprised me the most about the whole show is exactly how much passion people can have for a machine, for their cars, how attached they can get to it. And I try and tell people, they say, well, now it's all about technical this, technical that. And I'm saying, look, nobody ever wrote a love song about a cell phone, right? But there's love songs, about cars and movies about cars and history. And I think that is the thing that really, in a pleasant way, surprised me, just how passionate people are about automobiles and their history.
They're such a strong part of our culture that they've become personified.
It really is. You know, again, I meet great people now doing these interviews for people in Australia, and I have people that on the social media follow me on Instagram and the Twitter, and they're trying to get our shows on iTunes and things like that. So it's just great that the folks at Turbo are going to be putting the shows on so that everyone can see them. As I said, because I've got a lot of friends over in Australia, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from them. What do they think about it?
Well, speaking of which, you've got the new season of Americana coming up, and I have to ask you, in one of the episodes, you talk about the sinkhole. I remember we saw that on the news here too, and a lot of hearts must have sunk when that happened.
What an incredible event that was, and how close it came to being a really big disaster. When that sinkhole opened up in the showroom there at the National Corvette, museum and swallowed up those priceless Corvettes. Some could be saved, some couldn't, but it was amazing what they did to get those Corvettes out, how they went through the restoration on the 1 millionth Corvette, which we cover in the show, and then what Mr. Hendrick does to, who is my partner in the show, what he does to make to ease someone's pain who lost one of their Corvettes. But what an incredible show about how that sinkhole happened, how they restored the Corvettes they could, and then how they repaired it to make it safe to open the museum back up again. You know, something like that, and to be caught live, you know, we actually have the live footage from the security camera when that sinkhole actually opened up and swallowed those Corvettes. So again, just an amazing story. And we were able, with help from our friends from Chevrolet, to be able to cover that.
Yeah, there's nothing that they could have done to avoid that anyway, was there?
No, you know, because of course we had to learn about sinkholes and what causes them. And really, it is just a geological phenomenon that, you know, with all the caves and whatnot in that Virginia, Kentucky area, that these things happen. But there's really no way of predicting them. A lot of these buildings were built years ago when there was no way of predicting how thick the earth was there, how it would shift. And I'm going to tell you, when the earth opens up and swallows millions of dollars worth of Corvettes, that's a bad day.
Yeah, definitely. Bad day for everyone. Well, you can catch that and plenty more stories with Ray Evenham on Season 3 of Americana, which premieres on the 4th of June at 7:30 p.m. on Discovery Turbo. Ray Evenham, thank you for joining us.
Simon, thank you for having me on. I hope you enjoy the show. We'll look forward to speaking with you again.
BehindTheWheel.com.au